ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Another aspect of a good pastor is that he stays focused on his own spiritual growth and doesn't let anything distract him from that. We see that, you know, reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself rather to godliness. And this is important for all of us if you really think about it. You see, the focus is the Word of God and growing in godliness, not giving in to fairy tales or things that are meaningless. Don't become distracted from the truth. Speak it forth, teach it, and you're going to grow. And the word that Paul uses for exercise, it's a Greek word we get our English word gymnasium or gymnastics from. And the Greeks were big into physical training, and each Greek city had its own gymnasium, kind of a Gold's Gym, you might say, before its time, and Ephesus was no exception. Paul is picking up on what was familiar to them, and he tells them that, yeah, physical exercise is not wrong. It does help us some, but that which is more important, more beneficial, is the exercising of our faith to train up the inner man. Look at health clubs today, and what do you tend to find as you go into a health club and, you know, you're working out, as you see mirrors all over the place. Why? So you can see yourself flexing your muscles, running, whatever. To me, it's a distraction, but they're all over the place. And for us, the world is a mirror from where we came from, and the Word of God is a mirror to show us how well we're doing as we encounter different situations, how we respond. It shows if we're growing, if the inner man is being built up. And God is continually working in our lives. He doesn't give up. The work He began in us, He's going to complete. It's the sanctification process. It begins the moment we get saved, and it ends when we go home to be with the Lord. And if you think about this, people spend so much money and so much effort on preserving these bodies that God has given to us. It's a multi-billion dollar industry for, you know, plastic surgery to exercise programs to diets and to pills and so on. I mean, it's kind of funny today, you know, with all the coronavirus and the lockdown and you can't go to gyms and all that. It's amazing, all these apps now that you could watch other people help train you with videos. And you have to, of course, pay a fee for this. My thing is just go and exercise. Why do you have to pay people for that? I don't know. That's just me. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of these bodies. They're the temple of God. And so we should take care of them. But we have to understand that these bodies are going back to the dust of the earth, whether we like it or not. I don't care how much you do. It's just a reality. But what about the inner man? Are we building that up? Because that's going to be with us. One pastor put it like this. He said, "There is indeed a little profit in bodily exercise. It's a good thing, but not nearly as important as exercising oneself in godliness. If you have to choose between working out and worshiping, opt for worship every time. If you have to choose between Bible study and bodybuilding, always go with Bible study. It is good to jog and to do deep knee bends, presses, and curls, but I wish people would put the same emphasis on jogging their memory of Scripture, bending their knees in prayer, and pressing on in the faith, and curling up with a good book, the Word of God." Amen to that. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, put it like this. "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, and yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Yeah, the outward man is perishing, but wow, our soul and spirit, when these bodies, these tents go back to the dust of the earth, they're going to be with the Lord. So build up the inner man. That should be our focus, the main priority. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul says, "having a promise of life that now is and of that which is to come." yeah, we have this eternal life with God right here and now. But you know what? We're going to have the eternal life with him in heaven as well that will go on for eternity. This life and these bodies of flesh are temporary, but what's coming is eternal. In Colossians 3, verses 2 through 4, Paul said, "Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Amen to that. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Listen to what Paul said. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." You know, just as our physical body grows by eating and exercise, so does our spiritual lives, the inner man. It's done as we feed on God's word, as we exercise our faith. We are going to grow, we will mature, and it's profitable for our lives, more so than physical exercise, even though physical exercise does help some. Look at verse 10 here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe." So the fourth aspect to a good pastor is that he is committed to hard work. And that's exactly what we read here in 1 Timothy 4:10. "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach." In other words, don't get into this race half-heartedly. To be a lazy pastor is not really being a pastor, I'm sorry. A pastor is actively involved in the spiritual growth of those whom God has entrusted to him. And it takes work. Now, Paul speaks of labor. And in the Greek, it means to work to the point of weariness and exhaustion. To suffer. Agonize. It speaks of to engage in a struggle. J. Oswald Sanders put it like this. He said, "If he is unwilling to pay the price of fatigue for his leadership, it will always be mediocre. True leadership always exacts a heavy toll on the whole of man. And the more effective the leadership is, the higher the price is paid." Absolutely. Make no mistake about it, a good pastor works hard and suffers long to serve the Lord and to take care of his people. When Paul speaks of the living God and says, "who is the Savior of all men, especially of them who believe," is he speaking of a universal salvation here? No, not at all. God's desire is that all are saved, but man has a free will to choose, and that plays a role. See, the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary is more than adequate to save all men, but it's only effective in saving those who come to him by faith. Thus, you know, we are watchmen. We are to bring the gospel message to the lost, to share our faith, to give them an opportunity to come to that saving faith, and warn people in the love of Christ of the coming judgment and the everlasting life that Jesus has for them. But in the end, it's their choice. Verse 11, Paul wrote, "These things command and teach." Here, the fifth aspect that makes a good pastor is that they are a strong leader. And again, we see that here in verse 11 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. One writer put it like this. He said, "This has the note of authority. Timothy was not to enter the pulpit with speculations and opinions and theories of men. He was to fearlessly bring God's word before God's people and let the chips fall where they may." This is a tough one. I mean, let's face it. When you speak forth the word of God with boldness of the Spirit, you're going to offend people. Over the years, I've made many uncomfortable. Some have left. Some have gotten mad at me. And I teach the word of God passionately. But you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that. If I was not passionate for God's word, I would never put myself through this. I'm sorry. but I teach it passionately because I believe it is the Word of God, and I believe it is profitable for our lives. And I'm sorry if I offend some people, but I'm not going to change what God's Word has to say to make people more comfortable. I mean, we saw that a few years back with the Hebrews Roots movement. And there were a lot of people that were angry at me the way I handled it. But I was not going to let a false doctrine come into this church and divide this church. And I guess as a pastor overseeing, being the under-shepherd, that's my responsibility. So please understand, all that I do is to protect you and care for you and to help you to grow. I remember, and I shared this with you before, but when 9/11 happened, you know, and the whole country was in panic and everyone was upset, and someone called me on the phone, and I don't even know who this person was, and she asked me if I would do a teaching in Washington Park. They were getting everyone together, and they were going to meet in Washington Park, and just do a teaching. I'm sure, I'll share God's Word. And as I was praying about it, I felt the Lord was leading me to Jeremiah 29:11. That was going to be the primary focus of my teaching. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And with all the turmoil and the people in panic and upset, I mean, there were little kids in tears. There's no way they understood what was happening, but they were reflecting what their parents had felt. And that's why they were in tears. And I wanted to give them a future and a hope that God is still working. He hasn't given up on them. And as I shared about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, you know what happens when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs? The one you hit yelps, sparks, makes a lot of noise. That's exactly what happened. As I finished and I walked off the stage, a lady came up to me. Man, she was not happy. She basically said, "What gives you the right to speak of Jesus here? I don't believe in that, and it's not what I came to hear." She was offended. And I pretty much just told her, I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but he's our only hope. He's the Prince of Peace. There's no one else. That's all I have." And she wasn't really mad at me. She was really mad at God. But, you know, how do you fight against God and scream and yell at him? So you yell at his servant. And that's exactly what happened. And here's the issue. People, when they don't like what they're hearing, many times just leave. That's what Paul talked about in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. He said, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word." Did you notice that? Not entertain, preach the word. "Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching." Why? Because there's times going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. "But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Don't be a man pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Don't let the fear of man drive you. Let the fear of God guide you. You serve the Lord and you let the chips fall where they may. For this woman who was so mad at me, I pray. Obviously, she was being convicted. And I pray. I don't know who she is. I don't know where if she's still in town. But I pray that she took that conviction that God was putting upon her life, repented of her sins, and came to Jesus. That would be awesome. In fact, Paul said, "These things command and teach." Look at verse 12. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit, in faith and purity." So the sixth aspect of a good pastor is that he is an example for other believers to follow. Again, listen to this verse. "Let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word and conduct, love, spirit, faith, purity." Timothy was young. And this word young, it's a word that he's under 40. So he's probably in his late 30s or so, and, you know, people didn't look at him with a lot of credibility. They knew of him, but it was this age thing. They looked to those who were much older, and they put them in high esteem and rejected you. But as we look at the scriptures, we see that God used many young people to do his work. Men like Daniel and Jeremiah, even Mary. And so Paul wants to encourage him by telling him that this age won't matter if he lives what he believes. And as he does, others will notice he'll be an example to them. And Paul lists some six things here that should be manifested in our life. First, by word or the things he says. By conduct or how he lived his life, the things he did. In love, which speaks of his sacrifice towards others. In spirit, which may speak of his attitude. In faith, which is service with eternity in view, not focused on the temporal things. And in purity, which speaks of a sexually pure life. It's like what Paul said in Philippians 4:9 of being an example. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You've seen my life. You've seen how I live. Now you do these things too. One author put it this way. He said, "This is a quality strangely lacking from the makeup of many Christians. Plenty of enthusiasm for a football match or for an election campaign, but so little of it for the service of God. How the magnificent enthusiasm of the Christian Scientists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the communists should put us to shame. Oh, for the flaming zeal again that once the church knew." Our life should be an example to others, how we live out our faith. Absolutely. Well, look at verse 13 here in 1 Timothy 4. "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." The seventh aspect of a good pastor is that he honors God's word and makes it the focus. That's what this verse is all about. And yes, Paul was planning on returning to Ephesus. We don't know if it happened or not. But until he did, Timothy was to read the word of God, exhort the people in the word of God, teach them the word of God. And the whole in the Greek, the focus or the idea is that there was some preparation before he taught. He was committed to the work. He studied the scripture. He prepared himself. I knew a person who said, "You know, I don't prepare. I just get up there on a Sunday and where the Lord leads me, that's where I go." That's just laziness. It's not spiritual. You can't give to others what you yourself haven't received. You know, for me, when I first came up here, it took me 6 to 8 hours to do a study. 25 years later, it takes me 6 to 8 hours to do a study. I guess I'm slow. But you know what? I want to be able to give you what God has given to me. So it does take time. It's like what we read it in Nehemiah 8:8. They read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. That's what it's about. I don't want to just give you a bunch of hot air, nothingness. I want you to grow. So they read the word of God. They explained the word of God. They applied the word of God to people's lives. It's expository preaching. From Genesis to Revelation, that's what we do here. And the practice needs to continue on if people are to grow in the faith. You know, for me, from what I gather from the scriptures, preaching and teaching God's word is not only the highest calling of a minister, it's what we're to do. And many have moved away from sound doctrine. They spend their time on non-essentials, foolish things, while their sheep starve. Tragic. Look at verse 14 here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." The eighth aspect of a good pastor is that he is completely committed to the principles of Christian maturity found in the Word of God. And Timothy is just warned, don't ignore or lay aside or bury the spiritual gifts that God has given to you. Use them. That's a great lesson for us to heed and apply. It seems like Timothy, the elders in Timothy's home church in Lystra and Derbe, they prophesied and laid hands on Timothy before they sent him out with Paul on his journey. And to negate God's call in his life that was confirmed by prophetic utterances would be wrong. I know what God has called me to do. I know how he spoke to my heart. Now it's probably 37 years ago or so, that he was calling me up to Wisconsin to be a pastor. I have no doubt about that. Now, for me to negate that would be negating what God has told me, and that's not good. When Paul talks about meditation, and you know, it's a word that it's been used in the Christian church in a wrong way. Many use it like the Eastern mysticism and Eastern religions, where you empty your mind of all things. That's not what it's talking about. Fill your mind with the things of God. Focus on the Word of God. Let God speak to you. It's interesting how we're very good at remembering so many things, you know, like, you know, musicians and songs and movie stars and all kinds of statistics on sports. And when it comes to God's Word, what we need to know, we don't know it. You know, Paul in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Fill your minds with the Word of God to give our whole being to the Lord so we can grow. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen. In fact, Paul's talked about it in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Yeah, you know, yes, it's a gift of God, but there's the work that we do. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be seeking God. And lastly, verse 16 here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who fear. So the ninth aspect of a good pastor is that he is faithful and steady in his course for God. Paul is basically saying to Timothy, keep a close eye on the life you live and on the doctrine that you're teaching. That's important. What is what we say matching up with the things that we do? Because people are watching us. And when Paul is speaking of saving yourself and those who hear you, I don't think Paul is speaking of the salvation of your soul here. That's not the context of this chapter. I believe he's speaking of false doctrine, and not only Timothy falling prey to it and being in bondage to it because he's not in the Word of God, but leading others down that same and dangerous path. Timothy didn't do that, but it was a warning. Hey, pay attention. Don't go down that path. Continue being in the Word of God. Take heed to yourself in the doctrine. Look at these nine aspects real quickly. A good pastor will watch out for false teachers and warn his people against their teaching. A good pastor will be a student of the Word himself. A good pastor stays focused on his own spiritual growth and doesn't let anything distract him from that. A good pastor is committed to hard work. A good pastor is a strong leader. A good pastor is an example for other believers to follow. A good pastor honors God's Word and makes it the focus. A good pastor is completely committed to the principles of Christian maturity found in God's Word. And a good pastor is faithful and steady in his course for God. Wow, that's what it's all about. And I'll close with this evening. Paul's words from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, and he said this. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Let us press on towards that upward calling that God has for each of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the warning and just admonishing us in what a good pastor is. And really, these things should be applied to every life, every Christian life. Thank you, Lord, that you care that much about us. And you've shown us those things we need to be careful the warning of those things that are out there and how we need to be men and women of the Word, because the Word, your Word, the Bible, will expose the lies. The truth will set us free. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. We just pray that you continue to guide us this week. Help us to shine for you no matter where we're at. We want people to see Jesus. We want to be known for what we not only say, but also what we do. That our lifestyle matches up with the words that we say. Help us to live accordingly, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.